It's so exciting to have so many new members become a part of our fellowship. Some of you may wonder what period of time this covers. This covers the period of time since our last Holy Communion, which was the first Sunday in October, and those are the new members since that time. That's a lot of them, isn't it? You know, we really need to pray for our church that God will bless it. We need to pray for our country. I'm sure some of you were disturbed, as I was, to learn that we have evidence that the Soviet Union is violating the SALT treaties. We're praying for peace. A young soldier has been kidnapped, apparently, in West Germany with threats on his life if we put missiles there. And yet, if we don't remain strong, we're vulnerable. Disarmament is a difficult thing. It's sort of like starting a nudist camp. No one wants to be the first one to take his clothes off. If you'll turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Corinthians, to chapter 13. We're going to read beginning at verse 5 and read through verse 10. Now, you'll notice here that apparently, some of the people, Paul had more trouble with the church at Corinth than any other place. And apparently, there were some there who considered themselves to be super spiritual, even to the extent of criticizing the spirituality of Paul. So there's a little bit of sarcasm from St. Paul to the church there in Corinth, and you'll pick that up as we read it. Now, we believe that the Bible is the only infallible rule of faith and practice, the only unfailing guide to tell us what to believe and how to live. Hear the Word of God. Examine yourselves to see whether you are holding to your faith. Are you holding on to your faith? Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? And that's the test. You see, how do you test yourself to know if you're really what God wants you to be? Well, is Jesus in you? Because if he's not, says St. Paul, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. So if you're really a Christian, you've got Jesus in you, and that's how you know if you really love God. Verse 6, I hope you will find out that we have not failed. But we pray, God, that you may not do wrong. Not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we're glad when we are weak and you are strong. What we pray for is your improvement. I write this while I am away from you, in order that when I come, I may not have to be severe in my use of the authority which the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing down. May God bless to us this reading. Our meditation this morning is entitled SAT for Christians. Our text, examine yourselves to see whether you are holding to your faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Thus endeth the reading. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. God, through this word, as we put ourselves to the test, help us to pass with flying colors. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. We hear a lot today about standard aptitude tests, or SATs as they're called, and we're being told that the test scores for our young people and our children are steadily deteriorating. The test scores are going down, and that at a time as we move into a computerized era when we need to have the smartest possible children with the best educational standards. Now, that should be a cause for concern. But this morning I'd like to direct our thinking toward the kind of test that St. Paul talks about in our scripture for today. And we might call it our spiritual aptitude test. I suspect that if the test scores of all of us Americans on this particular test were given, we would have cause for some real national alarm. You see, I suspect that the spiritual IQ of this country keeps dropping. I suspect that our spiritual test scores today would be lower than they were 20 years ago or 50 years ago. Or to put it another way, how would your spiritual test compare to the test score of your parents? Or how would it compare to the test score of your grandparents? You see, many of us would discover that indeed the scores are dropping. In our scripture for this morning, St. Paul says, examine yourself to see whether you are holding to your faith. As you test your spiritual temperature, is it going up or is it going down or is it remaining stable? Let me say to you quite frankly that I seriously doubt if the spiritual temperature of any of us is stable or holding steady. And the reason is, I'm convinced that a person's spiritual life is something like riding a bicycle. Either you keep moving or you fall off. And if you don't keep growing spiritually, I'm convinced that you begin to wither and dry up. Do any of you have that problem? Do you ever get spiritually dry? Do you ever begin to doubt the whole thing? To wonder if somebody just made it up? To wonder if your prayers reach any higher than the ceiling? And to suspect that you will never make it to heaven? Well, I imagine all of us feel that way from time to time. So as you examine yourself this morning in response to Paul's question as to whether or not you're holding to your faith, what is your answer? In spite of the fact that you may be experiencing spiritual dryness, are you still holding on to your faith? Well, how do you answer a question like that? How do you tell if you're still holding on? Of course, sometimes you can tell if you're not holding on. If there's something in your life that's big and terribly wrong, if there's something in your life violently opposed to God, you know that. If you're doing something that's dreadfully wrong, something terribly out of God's will, of course you know that. Of course you know you're not holding on to your faith. But most of us, I hope, don't fit into that category. You see, most of us are just not sure about our spiritual health. Well, St. Paul tells us to test ourselves, and then he tells us how to take the test. He says, do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Is he? Is Jesus in you? Do you realize that when you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, that Jesus came into your heart? The Bible says of Jesus, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. That's his promise. So when you open the door of your life to Jesus Christ, when you invited him to be your Savior, he came into your heart. Is he there now? Are you still aware of his presence? You see, it's not that he ever leaves you. But what we lose is that sensitive awareness of Jesus in our hearts. Are you aware of him? Friday night, our phone rang, and it was Jim and Sarah Jones calling from Winston-Salem. I think they got a little bit homesick. I understand they called about half the church. Jim and Sarah are both doctors. They're both anesthesiologists. And they were members of our church before they moved. Jim was one of our elders. And they have moved to Winston-Salem. They adopted twin children, a little boy named Sidney and a little girl named Sarah Beth. And I suppose those children are about 7 years old now.
And Sarah, the mother, said that little Sarah Beth was really ugly to her the other day. And after a while, Sarah Beth came in very solemn, and this little 7-year-old girl, and she says to her mother, she says, "Mother, I wish to talk with you privately." "All right," said the mother. "What do you want to talk about, Sarah Beth?" "Well," said little Sarah Beth, "I feel so empty." "Why do you feel empty?" "Because," said Sarah Beth, "when I was ugly to you, Jesus went out of my heart." Well, we know Jesus didn't go out of her heart. What she lost was her awareness of his presence, and she felt empty. Well, that's the way it works, isn't it? When we get out of God's will, we feel empty because Jesus is not a dynamic presence that we're aware of. Test yourself, says St. Paul. So let me ask you this morning, is Jesus in your heart? Are you sensitively aware of his presence? Are you holding on to your faith? Now that brings us to the Lord's table. Here before us are some symbols. They symbolize Jesus, broken, dying, giving himself for us. When we're empty because we've lost our awareness of him, this table tells us that he died for that emptiness. He died for those things that are a repudiation and a rejection of him in our lives. He died for that emptiness. But this table is more than that. This table says that as we eat these symbols of Jesus, his body broken, his blood shed, by faith we're making ourselves aware of him again and saying, "Jesus, be real to me in a fresh new way. Sometimes my heart is so empty. Sometimes my soul is so dry. Sometimes there are so many things in my life that I'm ashamed of. But I can come to this table, and when I see the body broken and the blood shed, I know I'm forgiven because Jesus has died for those things that make me feel empty. And as I, by faith, take the Holy Supper, I'm inviting Jesus to make himself aware to me in a fresh new way." Shall we come to the table together now, you and I, and ask him to be real to us again? You see, unless he is real to us, unless he really is in our heart, as St. Paul said, we'll flunk the test. And neither of us want that. Let us pray. God, when we opened our hearts to Jesus, he came in and he never leaves. It's we who lose our awareness of him. We're the ones who by our sin close off our sensitivity to his presence. God, thank you for this table where you died for our emptiness. And thank you for this table where you come to meet us and make yourself real to us again. Blessed be your holy name. Amen.